Support for this podcast comes from the Fletcher School of Global Affairs at Tufts University. To start your future as a global changemaker, you must have context across fields like international business, cybersecurity, energy policy, and more. Don't just study global affairs, shape them. Visit fletcher.tufts.edu.
Welcome back to Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks. Many of us, perhaps most of us, are constantly connected to our smartphones, computers, our tablets. From the moment we wake up to the moment we go to sleep, our screens often dictate what we do and how we do it. But a new class at Bentley University is questioning that relationship and asking us to re-examine how we use technology. Professor Jeff Stern, who teaches a class on media and society, recently had his students take a digital fast, no computers, no phones, no Facebook, for 48 hours. Every digital device off limits. Not surprisingly, some of the students found it difficult. He says some of his students even freaked out. They were anxious about everything from staying in touch with friends to not being able to tell the time. Journalist Eugenia Williamson took the challenge herself and wrote about it in the Boston Globe, and she's with us. Welcome, Eugenia. Good to have you.
Thanks for having me.
Also here is Jeff Stern, professor of media and culture at Bentley University, who put this whole idea into play. And Jeff Stern, great to have you. Thanks for coming in.
Thank you.
Listeners, we want to ask you about this. We want to hear from you. Have you tried a media cleanse lately? What happens when you cut yourself off from the digital world, even if it's just for a day or two? Are you worried about the impact of being constantly connected? Are you able to live without us? Give us a call, 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK. And speaking of being hyper-connected all the time, you can also find us on Facebook and Twitter at Radio Boston. So, Jeff, since it's your idea, I wanted to start with you. Explain for us what the digital fast is and what were you trying to accomplish with it?
Sure. Well, this is part of a full semester class I'm teaching at Bentley that examines the effects of technology and social media on our lives in 2014. So the digital fast is kind of the centerpiece of that class. We took about 2 months to get to this point, during which we've been spending a lot of time talking about this, reading the media scholar Douglas Rushkoff's book, Present Shock, which is a great guide to the moment that we live in. And so the digital fast itself was 48 hours with no screens, no phone, tablet, computer, and television, video games.
Now, when you first brought this up, I understand there was a lot of shock and sort of guffawing at just the idea of it, right?
Yeah. We talked about this on the first day of class at the beginning of September, and based on my reading of the room, I really expected to come back to my next class session and find that most of my students had dropped. They seemed, you've got to be kidding me. We can't do that. And so part of this was I wanted to give them enough time to prepare for this, because this is a big undertaking, particularly for digital natives to even consider this.
And by digital natives, you mean people who have lived their whole life with it. For instance, you recall a time when we weren't tethered always to computers and smartphones.
Correct. Right. Yeah. Right. I remember, life before all this. And
me too.
And you can see it changing very, very quickly. Yeah. And we talk about this a lot in the class, and my students don't necessarily have that same perspective on it.
So was there sort of something you wanted them to get out of it, a sort of reconnection with, what's the value, I guess, of reconnecting with the world without being tethered digitally all the time?
Well, I think a lot of what the digital fast was about is asking questions, not necessarily proving a point or having some kind of closed-ended statement like, see what you learned?
Yeah.
And I think that's what Rushkoff's book does as well. And so the question was, what is your relationship to this stuff? Do you think you have an addiction? What does it feel like to step away from the 24-hour news entertainment feed that is bombarding you at all times? What did you miss? What did you like about it? What do you feel is essential? And what could you maybe do without?
Well, there's a great group of questions for our listeners as well. And we've already got some folks calling in at 1-800-423-8255. But Eugenia Williamson, I want to come over to you because you did the digital fast yourself for this article that you wrote for the Boston Globe.
I did.
Right? Yeah. So tell me how you did, because, well, I know how you did. It sounded like you didn't do that well.
I did. I failed pretty miserably, actually.
Tell me why.
I failed almost before I began. I ended up working too late to miss Jeff's curfew. That was 5:30 p.m. on a Friday. And then I ended up using my GPS. And then I ended up taking a work call. And then on Sunday, I was reorganizing my closet. And I had my husband put on the podcast Serial for me to entertain me while I was doing it, which I realized was cheating after the fact.
Boy, Jeff, so she gets an F.
I get an F.
Jeannie did worse than all of my students.
Well, Jeannie, how would you describe what the challenge was here?
I would say losing my connection to the outside world because I'm very socially lazy. And so I just sort of forewent all of my plans for the weekend. It was too difficult. Part of it was because I didn't want to break the fast so early. So when my friends went out, I didn't know where they had gone after a certain point. So I didn't want to text anybody because that would have been in really bad faith. But the other part of it was just being pretty lazy about going out. So I just felt kind of isolated. And I think that's why I failed.
Isolation. All right. Yeah, well, so Jeff Stern, there's Eugenia Williamson's experience. How did your students end up doing? You said you were surprised that they did as well as they did.
Yeah, I was surprised in a good way. I was impressed with how seriously they took it and how many of them were successful. You know, and several of them, I would say, failed in minor ways. They used their GPS once. They got online once to look something up. But they were, and I have to take them at their word on this, they were disciplined about that. And I think that's the hardest thing to do. I mean, I did this as well. And I recognize that if I have my phone, I am going to delve into that and I don't know when I'm going to come back out. And so I had to put it in a drawer and have it out of sight.
Right.
And some of my students were more disciplined. They had it, they checked it, and then they turned it back off. And I think that's one of the hardest things to do.
See, putting it in a drawer is interesting because do you find that it's almost a physical tick? I mean, once you have it, right, you're just so in the habit of looking at it.
Right. There's even that medical condition like the phantom vibration that is people experience more and more, where your leg is buzzing and your phone is actually not in your pocket. I mean, it's a real thing.
Well, Jeff, we've got one of your students on the line, I believe. Yes, we're getting affirmative. Joey Malisi, he's one of your students at Bentley University. He did the digital fast. And Joey, I'd love, first of all, welcome to Radio Boston. Thanks for coming on the program.
Thank you for having me.
So what was your experience with this 48-hour effort? Tell me something about it. Was it difficult?
So going into class, I know, like Jeff said, we were pretty shocked when he told us what we were going to have to do for one of our projects in class this year. I didn't drop out, thank goodness, but it was definitely a learning experience, and it was a fun experience, and it taught me a lot about how I use technology and the right and wrong times to use the technology.
Well, say a little bit more about that. Yeah. Sorry to interrupt you. Yeah. Say a little bit more about that in terms of the right and the wrong times to use technology.
Yeah, so I guess one of the big things I noticed is when I went out on Friday evening, I didn't take my phone with me, but I was going out with people who did have their phones, and it was very interesting to see how often either the conversation would end because someone was going to check their phone, or the conversation would completely change because one person has kind of disconnected to kind of engage onto this social networking or texting that they wanted to do, and not really engaging in the people around them, kind of like ignoring the people who are really in front of them to engage on their virtual life, I guess.
It was
definitely interesting to see that, and kind of having to find the right balance of when is appropriate to use your technology and when it's not.
Sure. What do you think, Jeff? What do you hear in Joey's comment?
Yeah, I had my students write reflective papers about their experience, which I've been reading this week, and that's something that is a through line in a lot of them. That you know, just this reaction that wow, people are really on their phones a lot, and you don't notice that when you're doing it too. And Joey, I have to say, was one of the people who correct me if I'm wrong, Joey, was you were successful from beginning to end. You never actually used your phone. Is that right?
I was successful in doing it. I did a lot of preparations so I didn't have to. So I could lock all my stuff in a drawer and not look at it again until Sunday night.
Joey, did you take something away from this experience? In other words, is there something valuable that you've held on to? Like, well, maybe it's a good idea to sort of lock that phone in my drawer for, I don't know, a few hours every day or something. Or have you changed your life in any way since this?
Yeah. So over the weekend, I actually had a big accounting test to study for, which actually would have been, I would have used my computer normally to study for it, but this time I didn't have that access to that computer, so I was kind of just doing everything on pen and paper, reading the book. I had printed out some extra review activities, which actually kind of ended up helping out. So I think it changed the way I study, and then it also just it changes the way I use my technology when I am in large groups, yeah.
Well, Joey, stand by. I want to bring in a couple of other callers who have called in to get involved in this conversation. Nick is calling from Somerville. Nick, you're on the air.
Hey, guys. Big fan of the show. Jeff, I'm really interested to hear about this class and this study you're doing. It's very serendipitous for me, as I actually just weaned myself off of social media, or am in the process of doing so, just kind of out of my happenstance. I'm a copywriter and videographer by trade, and realized that when I would get home from work, I would just kind of sit and consume social media, Netflix. I know the term binge watching has started to become popular. My question for you, Jeff, was, do you feel like, you know, this class is obviously a feast or famine study at this type of thing. Do you think there's an opportunity here to really strike a balance for young people who might have kind of grown up with the convergence of technology and the social lifestyle?
Yeah, that's a great question. And I'm, you know, we're very clear in our discussions in class and kind of in talking about the digital fast in general to make the point that this is not an anti-technology Luddite stance. I don't think that that's really possible unless you're really going off the grid. This is more about understanding and moderating your relationship to these things. And we talk a lot in the class, too, about the fact that our digital tools are tools. And you use tools and you put them away. But I think many of us never put them away until we just kind of pass out with the phone next to our bed and then we resume the next morning. And I think part of the digital fast is not to say you should live your life without these things, but it's to, in an extreme way, point out the things that you may have a problematic or even addictive relationship with and that you can maybe scale that back.
Eugenia, it seems to me that, and I actually like both of your comments on this, it just sounds like this is an exercise in consciousness. I mean, just being aware of what we're doing.
I think that's very accurate. I certainly relate to what Jeff just said about it being an addiction to this phone that's just always near you, that you're constantly reaching out for it, because I had to actually remove my phone from the bedroom. It is always, I look at pictures of animals before I go to sleep. I wake up and I check email before anything else. And I realized it was an exercise in consciousness because I didn't realize the horribleness of what that meant until after I had deprived myself.
Let's take another phone call. Julian is calling from Andover. Hi, Julian. You're on the air.
Hey, how are you?
Very well.
I'm a middle school teacher, actually. So I wanted to share a couple of things. One is just my own personal experience that I had last year. I was fortunate enough to take two trips to China, one in April with some students and then one in the summer for some professional development. And in the second trip, I wound up losing my phone. I had an iPhone 5S. I left it in a cab. And I didn't have an international data plan, so I wasn't able to, you know, access social media, obviously, you know, like Twitter and Facebook and things like that are blocked in China anyway. But what I was able to do is, you know, take phone or screenshots of maps on my phone and use those to show cab drivers where I was going. And obviously, I wanted to take a lot of pictures of what I was seeing and that sort of stuff. So when I lost the phone, I was pretty distraught. And I was, oh, no, I've lost all these pictures. And, you know, I had this thought, you know, the first time I went in April, I probably had thousands of pictures and hours of video and things that I had shot with my iPhone. And I realized I'm spending the majority of this trip experiencing everything through the phone instead of actually experiencing the trip.
Yeah.
And I was like, you know, who cares? I mean, if I want to look up a picture of the Great Wall, I can Google it. How often am I showing people these pictures? You know, the experience is really more valuable. So that's my own like personal thing. But,
Julian, I think that's a great point. Was there another quick point you wanted to make?
But yeah, exactly. With my students, because the first thing I thought when I heard you guys talking about this assignment was, well, how are they going to get any of their assignments, or how are they going to be doing their homework? Because so much of what kids are doing now, even at you know the K-12 level, is online. And in our district, we're pushing things like a one-to-one laptop or one-to-one tablet initiative.
Yeah, which we talked about a bunch last week. Yep.
Right. So basically, you know, his students right now can do that, take this 48-hour break. But my students, who are digital natives, basically, will there be a point, I guess the question, the way we're going as a society, is there going to be a point where you actually couldn't even take a break if you wanted to?
I think this is a great question. And Jeff, I really wanted to, this was a question that was forming in my mind, and Julian just articulated it so well. And you made the point that you're not a digital native. You could sort of put this out as an exercise to students who are digital natives. Are we going to get to the point where even imagining doing something like this just isn't in our vocabulary?
That's a great question. And I also just want to be clear that I am in the middle of this as well. I am not somehow above all this stuff. I have my own addictive relationship to these things. Yeah. I don't know the answer to that question. I mean, I guess what I would say is if you feel that it's impossible to take 24 or 48 hours away from this stuff, that seems like addiction to me.
Yeah.
You know, and maybe our society is addicted because you can't necessarily put it on wholly on the individual. But if it's so, and I'm sorry, Jeannie, but I mean, that's the question.
Yeah. Julian, thanks so much for that call. That was a great set of issues you put on the table. Let's go to Kane, who's calling from Charlestown. Kane, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for taking my call. My comment was just that I was born in a generation where, you know, I was born without the internet and I remember the Dewey Decimal System and all that stuff, but by the time I was out of high school, like, you know, the internet was almost indispensable, and that it now is, like, you know, work and everything else. Sometimes you just can't even get away from it. But I find that, like, you know, kids today, like, they're experiencing things, like another caller was saying, through the internet and kind of missing the fundamental life experiences that develop character and, you know, kind of build you along the way. You know, you say something on the internet, there's not really as much consequence to it as if, you know, you're face-to-face with somebody or, you know, things like that. So that was basically my thought.
All right, Kane, thank you for your call. Joey Malisi, are you still with us?
I am.
Yeah, I just wanted to, just as you listen to these folks call in, what are you thinking about what you took away from this experience? I'd love to hear more from what you experienced.
Yeah, of course. So I would say, like what you were, what Jeff was saying earlier, it is kind of going into the future. When are we going to reach that point of technology is too useful to for us to take away? But I think, like Jeff was saying, there should always be that sense of you do want to stay grounded and you want to stay in the real world. You don't want to escape to only being on your phone all the time and not interacting with others who are actually in front of you, say at a dinner table. So it is definitely something you want to make sure that you use the technology as a tool, but then don't let it control you and be the boss of you. You're the boss of your technology, not the other way around.
That's a good way to put it. Jeff Stern, you made the point that you're not above this, that you've got your own sort of addiction, or, you know, like all of us, you struggle with this. What did you take away from this 48 hours?
Well, I don't have my Facebook on my phone anymore. That was one of the, when I turned my stuff back on, that was the first thing I did, because that's the thing that I recognize doing this, that I'm addicted to it. And it offers me, I won't say it offers me nothing, but it's almost completely entertainment for me.
Yeah.
And that I don't need it on my phone, because I just, not having it on there for a week, I feel like I'm a little more calm.
So is there, I mean, so I know you said that, you know, you didn't do this to sort of make a statement, a point, learn this. But, I mean, do you think there is a sort of profound lesson that comes out of this? I mean, is it just limit your use? Think about what you're doing? How would you sort of sum it up?
Yeah, I mean, just to follow up on the first question for a second, I mean, the other, I think a couple of the other things I took away are that it's okay to sort of wait to engage with this, and it's okay to disengage with it so wait until you get to work to check your email.
Yeah.
Turn it off 2 hours before you go to bed. I mean, it's scary, because what if you miss something? But that's part of what I learned, that, and this might be a testament to my lack of importance and popularity, but I missed almost nothing that weekend. You know, I got a couple emails from my bank and a couple texts from friends making fun of me, and that was about it. You know, maybe I got lucky, but Rushkoff talks about in his book that we all live in this state of constant emergency, that we're all waiting for the sort of worst case story to come through. And that's why we feel like we have to check our phones all the time. But what are we giving up in the world by living in that emergency state.
You know, you mentioned Rushkoff, and I remember I didn't read the book, but I heard him when he was being interviewed around Future Shock, and I was really impressed by him. So I went back in preparation for this and was just looking for a couple of key lines that sort of summed up some of his ideas. And one of them that I was struck by was this, that we live in this age when a diminishment of everything that isn't happening right now. I mean, there is a diminishment of everything that isn't happening right now.
Right.
And that seems so profound to me when we're sort of tethered constantly by the present that these phones and this technology represents.
Yeah, and he talks a lot about this idea of narrative collapse, that because we sort of consume our news through, and whether that's personal or sort of global news, through a feed where, you know, the pictures of Kim Kardashian are juxtaposed with a story about ISIS, and that's juxtaposed with pictures of your you know, sister's children, and you sort of lump all those things together, and it's very overwhelming and confusing and disorienting.
Yeah.
And that's not a story. It's not a sort of narrative in the way that we think about it. It's just pieces of information that become this weird, you know, master narrative. And I don't know where I was going with that.
No, you said a lot. Joey Malisi, I'm wondering that based on this experience that you have, do you find yourself saying to your fellow students, hey, there's something to this. We need to sort of slow down and limit this constant connection to our smart devices?
Yeah, it's definitely a conversation that has come up with both family and friends. Just They know that I went through this experience. I let them know just in case they had to reach me that I was going to be doing this digital fast weekend. And it did spark a lot of conversations about whether my generation especially has, growing up with that technology, always having access to it, whether that has hurt us whether it has been hurting us or helping us, and finding that right balance. And everyone makes an argument about how great technology is, and then you have people who are saying that this technology is hurting us as interacting with other people, but it's important that we do find that right balance. Like,
sure. Eugenia Williamson, I'd love to just, we have only about a minute left, but give me sort of your final thought on this. And you took this on. I thought it was a really fun piece that you wrote, but what surprised you? What did you come away with that surprised you about this experience?
The most surprising thing to me was less my failure and more the students' reactions to the task at hand. One of the stranger things was that, I went to college 15 years ago, and now parents can text their children multiple times a day, and it's almost a given. That was one thing I heard time and time again, and I just couldn't get over it. That sort of connectivity with people who are away is something that we all take for granted now, and just the stark contrast of when I was in school.
Sure, it's changed.
Amazing.
It's a new world. Jeff Stern, what's the next sort of stage of this experiment that you've been running with your student? Is there a next step?
Well, we're kind of done with the digital fast chapter. I have talked with my students about, they've all sort of, some of them to varying degrees have vowed to make kind of either small or large changes in their relationship to these things. And I would really love to check in with them in 6 months or a year and see what their if those things stuck. So.
All right. Well, we'll be interested to hear how that turns out. That's Jeff Stern, professor of media and culture at Bentley University. He recently had his media and society class go in a digital fast. Jeff, thanks very much for coming in.
Thank you so much.
And Eugenia Williamson, freelance journalist and editor based in Somerville. She wrote about it in the Boston Globe. Her article was called Students Give Up Digital Lives for a Weekend. You can find a link to it at radioboston.org. Thank you, Eugenia.
Thank you.
And Joey Malisi, student at Bentley College, thank you.
Thank you.
And listeners, stay with us. A lot more ahead. This is Radio Boston. I'm Anthony Brooks.